Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. And it is a Whiteout Wednesday and a playoff week. Whiteout Wednesday with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles at Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing, man?
Jay
I'm
Boogie.
Great. I can. Man, you know what? I'm excited.
It's playoff
the playoff
week,
time.
Yeah.
Good seeing you, gentlemen. Yeah, it's good times.
Well, we're excited to talk to you and excited for this matchup. So, first thought, when you saw the way the bracket fell over the weekend, what was your first thought, Eagles-Niners?
You know what? First thought, you're like, dude, I don't want to go against Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
That's the first thought that comes to your brain.
He's a smart coach.
But when you start to break down the film, and I've been doing that, you know, for the, you know, the past few days, they have some deficiencies, especially on defense. And most people will, you know, talk about that. In the run game, they have some problems, some challenges. A lot of times, they don't cover the center or the guards at times. In Seattle, they did that multiple times where they're in this wide front where they're expecting pass, and it's on the first and second down. So the Eagles can make some yards with quarterback sneaks, not sneaks, but quarterback design runs and or dives up the middle. So you have your guards free to be able to double team up into that Mike linebacker. And their defense is designed to have Fred Warner. When you don't have him, because he's what you call like a war daddy, a dude that's just going to beat his one-on-one block, even if it's a center.
Right.
He does that often, and when you don't have him in there, they're compromised.
All right, so let's talk about expectations for the offense. You mentioned some spots you think they could have success. They haven't scored against good defenses. They haven't scored against playoff defense, right? The numbers this year, when they play teams that made the playoffs, 16.7 points per game. I said on Monday, 24. I want 24 points on Sunday against this Niners defense. Hugh kind of was with me, but he was throwing some
21.
Caution.
21.
Can they get to 24? Should they get to 24?
That's where you need to be, right? So the team. So when you break this down, 24 points a game will put them at the number 14th scoring offense in the league, right? And that's 14 teams that are in the playoffs, right? So you need to be at that baseline. 24 points is where you need to be. And guess what? There's only been three teams this year that have scored more than 24 points against the Eagles defense.
So that's the number. That's the number.
So I think you're perfect when it comes to that number.
Say, Hugh, 24.
No, I mean, I hear you. I conceded 24, but 21 is where they flirt with 21 a lot. They flirt with 21 a lot.
But if we're flirting with 21, we're flirting with, like, it's a tight game in the fourth quarter,
what,
and I'm biting my nails.
How about this? I'll make a compromise. We scored 21 in the first two halves, and then give us three in the second half.
Give us three with 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So. When you think about this game, I mean, because I don't know how you've watched it, but how do you think it's going to play out as far as, you know, I feel like the Eagles are going to win. I'm going to put that out there first. But do you feel like it's more of a blowout or if it's more of a tight situation?
It's going to be a tight game. But I don't think we have the capability to blow out this team. You know, even though we may have some yards running, they have some guys that are unproven, like Renardo Green on the back end covering A.J. Brown and sorts, right up to, you know, Stout, like their nickel guy. There's guys that we can attack. But when it comes to their offense, they do a lot of things. And our defense is good, but they can play avoiding Quinyon. And most teams can't. They can totally shut Quinyon out of this game and have no impact. The reason is they play the game in between the numbers. And when you play the game in between the numbers, guys are always outside in their leverages. You're able to manipulate that flat defender and get them out of the space fast enough so you can throw a slant inside of it. You're able to get to the safeties faster, and your receivers are always in the tight splits. And they play the game with Christian McCaffrey, Juszczyk, Kittle. These guys you don't have to have, you know, great corners to win in that situation, right? Right. So they can go against your safeties and your linebackers and put those guys in compromising positions. So they can play the game not throwing a ball at Coop or Quinyon and be successful.
That's pretty remarkable because most teams can't do that, and the Eagles you know take advantage of that. All right, so when you think about the matchup, Shanahan, Fangio. I mean, who has the advantage? I mean, to me, they're two of the best maybe ever to do what they do on each side of the football. It feels like that's going to be the story going in the game. Who can get the best of the other one?
Yeah, Shanahan has come out and saying that it's a nightmare, you know, multiple times over his career playing against, you know, Vic Fangio. And do I think that with this, the way that our defense is is playing, do I think that we match up very well against this team? But it depends on our defensive line play. Mm. They're going to do a lot of things to us that the Bears did, meaning that they're going to try to have a tight end, a receiver of some sorts, manipulate the defensive end backside, hold him so he can gain a man.
This is a huge thing,
yeah. They do that a bunch. So it all depends on how our defensive ends play and how our defensive tackles play. If we can dominate the front, it'll be a game where we can win soundly. Do I still think it's a blowout? No. Do I think that'll be a 24-10 type of, or 24-17 type game? Yeah. But like, so I think that's one of the biggest issues is how we deploy our defense against their run game.
And Hugh, you've been on the edges though for a while now.
Yeah, I basically said, Jason, that I feel like if there's a game to be had, because last week I feel like the game that we played, most teams try to run between the tackles. Mm-hmm. Or try to get that game being in the tackles. The ends, for me, and you, I know you watch a lot more film, but the ends, to me, have been playing a lot more undisciplined. They're not checking backside as much as they have in the past. And I always felt like that was where you could attack this team,
yeah,
is if you get that perimeter play from them.
Yeah, and this team will do that because they have so many smoke and mirrors. They go in motion a lot, and then after the ball is snapped, there's things that are designed to manipulate that defensive end. It's going to test his patience,
yeah.
See if you can get that toss crack, see if you can get that jet sweep around, see if you can get that guy to influence, right? So, but here's the thing. They have their core guys, all of them are sold out when it comes to run blocking. They're sold out when it comes to it. Juwan Jennings, as good as of a run blocker as you can get from the receiver position. George Kittle, as good as of a tight end run blocking as you can get. Both their backup tight ends are great at run blocking. Juszczyk is great, right? So all of their main core guys, they're designed to get to have explosive runs. So we have to be very, very disciplined for our defensive ends. And we're going to have tight end matchups at times. The reason Hassan Reddick got moved out of here is because he couldn't win his one-on-ones against tight ends at times.
Right.
Jalen Phillips has to be that guy, him and Jalix Hunt, to control this run game.
Jason Avant with us. It is Wideout Wednesday. Can we hear, this is something you kind of spoke to this. I heard Richard Sherman yesterday talking about this on his podcast, about how he thinks Shanahan, and he played for him for a little bit, is going to try to attack the Eagles defense. Here's Richard Sherman.
They're well coached. They're going to be disciplined. And I don't think Jalen Carter, Noah Smith, and Dave, Jordan Davis are elite players. They're going to be problems for this offensive line. But if they can get them blocked, they don't have the same depth that the Seattle Seahawks had. Seattle Seahawks can rotate a lot of good guys. I don't think they have that kind of depth. And if Brock Purdy has time to pass, I think he has a field day with this secondary. I love Quinyon Mitchell. I love Cooper DeJean. I think they both made the Pro Bowl this year. Really good players. I think there are places in this defense Kyle Shanahan will feel comfortable attacking, and we'll see.
All right, so it's kind of what you were saying, the way I heard it. And what do you think about Purdy? Because Purdy is such an interesting quarterback in that he's been super productive since he became their quarterback, right? Took him to a Super Bowl, NFC title game. But there's always a little bit like, is he really that good? When you watch Purdy, how good do you think he is? And do you agree with Richard that if he has time, he's going to make plays?
Well, so Purdy's a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback, and he knows this system. And he gets the ball out when he sees it. And it's tight window throws.
It's over the middle a lot, too.
You know, because in this offense, you have to be able to read the defense. You have to trust it because, remember, you're dealing in tight spaces. Everyone is packed in the middle because that's where you're lining up. So you have to be able to – you have to know exactly when a guy's about to move out of his spot. And he knows that. And it tells you a lot about Kyle Shanahan's trust. And it and this will be a hard offense for Jalen to run.
Mm.
And I'm not coming at Jalen. I'm just saying.
Different kind of offense.
What they're asking Purdy to do is
something
you're
throwing,
that's not
in tight windows. You're talking about anticipation throw. That's what it sounds like you're saying to me.
It's anticipation throws. It's believing that your guy is going to win based on his leverage and the defender is not moved yet. It's a bunch of those things. And Purdy does it at an extremely high level. So he's a very good quarterback. Now, to get to what Richard Sherman said, I'm not worried about Quinyon on Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne, any of their receivers. That's not a matchup for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of these guys are guys that he's facing in his caliber. None of those guys are. But here's the thing. They won't be going against him. That you may get some Coop reps because Coop is going to have to be in there because they play 21 personnel and Coop is like, they're not going to put, you know, N'Kobe Dean, Zach Bond, and, you know, Jahi Campbell. Sure. They're not going to keep them on the field all the time. So you want Coop in the game.
Right.
So Coop is going to have to win a matchup against Juszczyk or win a matchup against Kittle, blocking him. So we want him in the game. So if we want him in the game, he's going to be in there in passing situation. And I trust Coop in that situation. But do I trust them when it comes to Epps? Do I trust him?
The safeties feel like a big part of this, yeah.
Mm. Do I trust him against a one-on-one with Jahi Campbell? Because that's what they're going to try to do.
So, Richard was mentioning the Seahawks game. Now, the Niners were on a heater before this past weekend, right? They were averaging like 30-something points a game. Yeah. They went up against Seattle, and Seattle totally shut them down. What did you make of that, and can we do something similar? Because, you know, you think about the best defense in the league. It's probably Seattle, Texans, Eagles, you know, Broncos. Like, we're in that class. Was that a one-off, or can the Eagles – can they shut this down?
The Eagles can do it because here's the thing that's kind of encouraging. When you look at the Seahawks and the way they play defense, they're a cover four based team. Who else is a cover four based?
Eagles.
Team? Eagles are right. They have great corner play on the outside, and you know their guys are doing a good job. So the thing that the Seahawks can do is they do have a great rotation with DeMarcus Lawrence and the guys up front. And so their defensive line was able to get after it. They were able to send some pressure, some things that we don't normally do. And they play a little bit more coverage when it comes to cover two. They're in that a little bit more. And I think that they knew their concepts. Their defensive backs understood exactly what they were doing on the back end. It's a film study game for us to be able to see. There are some tail tendencies, right, for the Niners. The Niners play the game in between the numbers. When they go outside of the numbers, it's usually a second and long, third and long. Mm. So you can expect pass in those situations. If they line up outside of those numbers with one of their guys, when it comes to Ricky Pearsall, they're trying to get him the ball, Juwan Jennings. If they line him out there on first or second down, it's going to be a pass. And the Bears are able to pick off one on the first play because they broke that, they saw that tendency. Mm-hmm. So there's things that we can do in order to dominate this defense, especially they have a lot of tails because of how they play football.
How good is McCaffrey still? I mean, 2 years ago, he was incredible. Then he got hurt last year. They've given him the ball a lot this year. To me, it's been less explosive in the run game. He doesn't run off those 50-yarders anymore. But to me, every time I watch, it's like 25 touches. I mean, he's the offense.
Well, there's no... He's still the same player. Teams have figured it out. Mm. Sort of like Saquon. Him and Saquon, they're the same players. It's just that teams are starting to figure out what they're doing when it comes to running the football. But he's just as potent in the pass game. They get a lot of yards from checkdowns. A ton of yards because they get guys in the middle of the field running off the safeties and they check the ball down to Christian McCaffrey and McCaffrey runs for 12, 15 yards.
Because he's running everybody off.
They run everyone off. So that's something that we have too. And he's just as important in the pass game. Him and Juszczyk catch slants. They catch in-breaking routes. They catch corner routes. They catch stops. They're just important. And that's how you know Brock Purdy is a good quarterback, is because anybody on the field can get the ball at any time.
Mm.
Distributes it to everybody.
Anybody on the field
feels like challenges the defense. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't know where the ball's going.
Anybody can get the ball.
Yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. Jason in with us for the 11 o'clock hour. All right. Let's talk about the other side of the ball, too, which is the Niners defense, which is struggling. Let's hear Shiel Kapati. He was on the morning show, and he framed this defense in a way that really stood out to me when he said it. Here's Shiel with the morning show.
No, they're a good team. They're not a great team. Offensively, they are very good, but we saw in that game against the Seahawks that when they go up against a great defense, they can be shut down. So that was kind of an illuminating game. Before that game, they had just been going up and down the field on opponents, and it was kind of a shock when they didn't score a touchdown. Now, defensively, not just bad. I would argue one of the worst in the NFL right now when you look at the personnel that they're working with. They lost all their best players. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, their first-round pick, all these guys went down with injuries. They're starting kind of practice squad guys at linebacker. And so if you can't move the football against this defense, you really don't deserve to move on.
That's the, when he said that, one of the worst defense in the NFL, Jason, and if you can't move the ball against this defense, you don't deserve to move on. I mean, they, I looked at their depth chart. I mean, I don't even know who some of these guys are, Jason. They're running out there at defense right now.
So you're going to have guys out there. There's no Fred Warner. They're down to their third. But and that third linebacker now is a guy that we is Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks is a good player. It's just that he hadn't been playing as much, right? So you're down there when it comes to their corners, their corner situation. They have D'Amador Lenore, that he's a really good player. But outside of that, they're just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
They're surviving on defense. And you can tell because the defense is designed a certain way and they don't have their guys out there. This defense is never going to be the same when Bosa's not playing. Because Bosa is one of those guys that can be the defensive player of the year at any time. And you don't have that sack production. You're depending on Bryce Huff. We know how that goes. That can be anything, right? So it can be no sacks in a year and no tackles. Or it can be, you know, eight or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of ways to get after this defense. But here's the thing. We don't have a great offense.
Well, that's for sure. So, all right, is the way to do it on Sunday to run the ball at them? Or is this a day the Eagles throw the ball?
Well, I think you can do either. They're bottom half when it comes to most stat categories on defense. So you can definitely attack Renardo Green, number zero for them on the outside. The other thing that you can do is try your best to get the ball in between the guards. Because if they're not going to cover the center, we have to be able to devise a run scheme where we're shooting right up the middle, whether that's the quarterback, whether that's Saquon. And then they have wide nine principles on the outside. Mm. So there's ways that you can make that guy even wider. When a team plays wide nine and you line up a tight end to a side, he goes even further. So there's ways to position your tight ends, your receivers, in a way that creates lanes for the running back. So I think this is a run game. Don't give a damn about what A.J. Brown is talking about. Don't care about it. This is playoff time. You can't make the Pro Bowl. There's no stats that really matter but wins. Do what you do best when it comes to this team. Try your best to establish a run game and get the ball and don't allow Jalen to throw the ball more than 25 times.
You know what? And that's the formula that I recall it being damn near every year in the playoffs. Like, you have some outliers, you know, when you throw the ball a whole lot. But every playoff game that I've ever been in, I kind of recall the running game being a huge factor.
Yeah.
In a win or a loss.
We need it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you have to be able to run the ball, control the clock, and play keep away. I mean, that's kind of how I look at this.
Where did you come down on the decision they made to rest? And do you think it's going to make a meaningful difference, right? That let's use the offensive line, right? Because we're on the run game, that they got a full week off. Meanwhile, the Niners played, right? They were trying for the one seed. They played.
Yeah.
Did you support the decision? We had debate last week, and then that debate spun into this week, Jason, because obviously if the Eagles had won the game, they'd be the two seed. They didn't do that because, you know, whatever, the backups were the way they called the game. They didn't win. What did you make of it, and do you think it's going to make a difference for this weekend?
Well, so I support the decision.
Yeah, right? I thought it was the right thing to do.
So here's the reason. You're going against a third-string quarterback yourself, right, when it comes to Commanders.
Yeah.
I think Tanner McKee can be the third-string quarterback any day of the week because I thought Tanner McKee was a guy that will position himself as a possible starter in this league, right? So I'm like, okay, we have the advantage when it comes to that. And the Eagles were in position the entire game. Now, what that game did was kind of expose Kevin Petullo. That's what that game kind of did.
He's been on that.
It exposed them because now you're looking at it like, dude, Tanner always plays well. And we threw the ball 40 times with Tanner when Tank is out there.
Why did they do that?
Thank you for doing that, because when I was saying he was talking about, I was harping on the wrong thing.
Well,
he almost stood up yesterday.
So I did almost stand up. But happens once a month or
but
so.
But we're piercing them in the run game with Tank. And we don't continue down that path. Multiple times, we had a situation where we had a first and 10, we get 9 yards, and then we pass it 2 more times, and we punt.
Well, the 2 times in the red zone before the end of the first half.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to you. So, with that being said, we should have won the game with the guys that we had deployed, and I don't think we're even having this conversation. But, you know, hindsight is always going to be 20-20. He chose the rest of his players, and here's the thing. Green Bay can beat Chicago. And we still have 2 home games.
And they could. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Jason with us for another segment. Let's talk about the other playoff games, what Jason thinks will happen, and how this whole playoff field works through. And the Lane Johnson situation. Is he playing on Sunday? And if he's not, how big of a deal is that? We'll get to that with Jason Sirianni's press conference coming up around the top of the hour. We'll have that for you as well. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Well, yeah. There's no shortcut home. Ooh, I love playoff football.
Oh, we're back. It is playoff football. Jason Avant in with us for the hour on the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. All right, Sirianni's going to come up at the top of the hour. We'll have his press conference. Lots to get to here with Jason. All right, we'll get to the full playoff picture. And we need Jason's thoughts on Hugh Douglas throwing his hat in the ring for the Atlanta Falcons head coach job. We'll get to that. But, Jason, we're still not sure if Lane Johnson's coming back this weekend. I think a lot of people assume he is. Sirianni was vague yesterday morning on the morning show. They're going to have a practice today. We'll get a practice report. How big of a deal is it? I mean, when I say that, normally it's a big deal. He didn't play much down the stretch of the season. He wasn't playing his best before that. Do they need him on Sunday? And if he's out there at like 50-60%, is that good enough?
You know what? This is an injury that was an automatic out for the season.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, when you had a foot injury,
Liz Frank,
when you had a foot injury in this one, you were out for the season automatically. Now Lane is saying, I can come back based on what the doctor's reports may be, but I'm not anticipating Lane because I know multiple guys have had Liz Franks in week two and they were out for the season, so. If anything that he can give us may be a bonus, but I'm not anticipating or expecting. And can this team win the game without Lane? I believe that they can. Are they going to have to be more disciplined, less penalties, capitalize when teams make mistakes? Yes. Are they going to have to run to the left side a little bit more? Yeah. And teams know that as well. So they just have to be more perfect, and they won't have the same success running the ball.
The other injury, and it sounds like we're more sure on that, Hugh, is the Kobe Dean, right? Vic Fangio said he's going to play yesterday. How about that one? Because it's a hamstring, so let's hope he gets perfectly through the game. But we know hamstrings, you can re-aggravate them. If he is not out there every snap, what's the difference between him and Jihad? I mean, I like Jihad's future, and he's shown some good stuff this year. I'd be concerned with Shanahan against a rookie linebacker getting him, confused out there. Like I hope we got N'Kobe on Sunday.
Yeah, N'Kobe is the reason our rush defense is the way that it is. His ability to blitz and bring the noise to any running back in protection, and or lineman at times. So and his ability to diagnose what's going on is so much faster than Jahad's. Mm. You can look at him side by side in the play and you can see N'Kobe react way before Jihad. And that's, experience and, being in this type of a system with the guys up front in Georgia, right? So I think that's a really, really, we want N'Kobe to stay in this game and be healthy because you're going to be challenged down the field with Kittle. You're going to be challenged with Juszczyk. You're going to be challenged with these guys. And yes, a young player against this offensive coordinator is not what we want.
Yeah, can't have that. All right, let's go to the phone line.
Jeremiah Trotter did a really, really good job.
He was good.
He was good this past game. Extremely good. Not just, he was really, really good at getting off blocks and diagnosing plays.
It's as deep as they've been an inside linebacker. Yeah. I can never remember. All right, let's go to the phones, and then let's unpack the rest of the postseason field, including the NFC, how Jason sees it starting this weekend. Let's talk to Sean in Newark up on WIP. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, Joe?
Good, Sean. What's up?
I wanted to chime in on your teacher lesson giving grades.
Mm-hmm.
I was told by Kyle everything I'm saying is spin, but I wanted to point out that in your own...
That's what you said.
You said something about some spin.
Go ahead. All right. If anyone missed it, so we were discussing Hurts. Do we expect Hurts to play better in the postseason than the regular season? And I went through the 9 playoff games he played, and I gave him grades for the 9 he's played so far. All right. Now you're up, Sean.
All right. In your own grading system.
Sean, turn your radio down right, there, homeboy.
Sorry. It's off. You're saying that Hurts, you were trying to show that he doesn't actually do better under pressure like in the playoffs.
That's
not the premise.
What I said was he's played 9 playoff games, and I think there's been 3 outstanding ones, and I'd say 3 or 4 not very good ones. So that's just how I viewed the 9 playoff games.
What's the point that you're trying to make by saying that?
Well, because I think it's a reflexive thing. We just say he's automatically better in the playoffs when I think it's been some great, some not great, and that's kind of the way he is in the regular season. So I'm not just automatically saying Sunday he's going to be great because it's the playoffs, because that's not really what's happened around here.
What I'm saying is that you're misquoting what I think people are saying about Jalen, his supporters. They're saying that he performs better when the stakes are higher and when the lights are brighter. Under your own stats, he had his four greatest playoff games in the two NFC championships and in the two Super Bowls.
Well, not true. It's three, because the Niners championship game in 22, it wasn't a great game, right? Purdy got hurt. They ran the ball. I agree with you. The Commanders game and the two Super Bowls, yes.
The quarterback got hurt. That's Hurts' fault.
No, but did he play great in that game? Did he play great against the Niners in the 2022 postseason game? He didn't.
Mark, singling out a single game. You're trying to make a generality about his career. No. Now you're trying to parse a game out to distract the point I'm trying to make.
I'm trying to make sure we're on the same page. You said his four biggest games have been the four most important games. And I said, it's been three of those four. Isn't that just fair, Sean?
For what point? Jalen Hurts doesn't get better under pressure. He had his worst games when he was a rookie his first year. But let's go to another stat. Okay. Tom Brady, most quarterbacks.
You didn't do a good job of explaining that one.
Tom Brady gets worse in the playoffs. Peyton Manning got worse in the playoffs. You can go through a whole list of some of the greatest quarterbacks.
You're trying to tell me Tom Brady was worse in the playoffs, Sean? What are you talking about?
Quarterback rating was 90 in the playoffs, and it was 97 in the regular season for his career. That is a fact.
Okay.
It is a fact.
Sure.
Peyton Manning's rating went down 7 points. But you're saying because Jalen Hurts' rating stays the same, he's got the same, doesn't really change much in the playoffs. He just got the same.
Man, he didn't hit you with
Tom
the fake
Brady,
voice,
Peyton
too.
Manning, some of the greatest quarterbacks in history do worse during the playoffs because the competition is better. So their rating goes down. They have an artificially high rating in the regular season because the competition is worse. They're playing a lot of crappy teams. Mm. In the playoffs, their focus is winning the game. So, yes, their rating might go down, but they win the game. Tom Brady's a winner. That's exactly what Hurts is doing. And he's going to take care of it this weekend because he'll run when he needs to run. He'll make the decisions he needs to make.
You're
and his rating
Joe.
Might be exactly what it is. But, again, to sit there and say because his rating stays the same, that shows that he really isn't a playoff quarterback.
No, I never said he's not a playoff quarterback. What it is there's a sense that he's just automatically going to be better in the playoffs.
This is why I hate having these conversations.
Also, you're factoring in his rookie season when he had his worst possible
It wasn't
team.
His rookie season. It was his second year. It was his second season in the NFL. It wasn't his rookie season.
Falling apart because he had his worst possible offensive coordinator.
Nobody listens to what's being – nobody ever listens to what's being said.
With competent personnel, he's had his best seasons. When he's equipped with morons that have never coached offense before, that's when he's had his two worst seasons.
Hold on. Steichen's not a moron.
The Eagles had the highest paid offense in the history of football, and two different times, if they're going to a Super Bowl, they turned that offense over to somebody that never did the job before, and each time it blew up in their face. That's what the real problem is.
Hold on. So based on your logic, it's going to blow up in their face and he's not going to play well because Petullo's a moron.
That and the fact the offensive line's injured.
I'm glad you're already making the excuse for the guy before the game has started.
With coping, and they're doing better with coping.
Well,
I'm
just trying to figure out your logic. So you tell me that it's bad because of Petullo, but he's going to play. He's going to play better on Sunday, even though Petullo's there.
Kind of what he said.
He will play better because that's what he does. But Petullo could still pick it up and screw it up for him.
So hold on. Just let's finish on this. If he doesn't play well, it's Petullo's fault. If he does, it's because he plays well in the playoffs.
No, if Petullo has a crappy game and it's Petullo's fault, then it's Petullo's fault.
How do you know? Was the Chargers game Petullo's fault?
It's easy to know whether Hurts had a good game or not.
Right.
You don't need to put out some.
I don't even know what y'all arguing about.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out the logic here.
You pull out one game somewhere out of your butt, and then you try to say that that's
you pull one.
There's only nine playoff games he's played. Like, you're talking about, like, there's not 100 of them.
Pressure games when he's equipped with competent people, he's done great. The only time he's had a bad game was his rookie first time ever.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. So you're telling me the 2023 playoff game in Tampa was great?
No, he had his worst coordinator ever. That was his worst coordinator.
I got it.
He played great last year versus the Rams?
That's what he said. He said he only had one.
The first couple games when he came back from his concussion, he still stunk because he was coming back from a concussion.
So, Sean, I got it. So the bad ones are the coordinator or excuses. The good ones are because he's great. I'm glad we figured it out.
Did we figure it out, though?
I think we did.
And he plays better under high-pressure games, mm-hmm. and every regular season his performance is in directly proportional to the quality of his coordinators. But he does play better in the playoffs, and his stats don't go down, unlike Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Because right, he's better than those guys.
Playoffs.
Yeah. So, Sean, I expect on Monday, if he plays well, you could be the first caller Monday that says, I told you so. And if he plays poorly, you could be the first caller that says, Petullo's fault.
I'm telling you, I told you so.
Okay.
And he's going to run a lot because he's going to open up now that he's healthy. He did the Embiid thing, which is basically bubble wrap for the year to get to the playoffs.
Well,
now I'm healthy.
The Embiid thing's not helping your argument because then Embiid stinks in the playoffs. Sean, we no more. I can't.
You don't appreciate that. That was a lot.
Well, I just was trying to figure out his point.
You were very gracious right there.
Yeah, because Joe,
what do you got here?
It's hard to have, for me, it's hard to have conversations with a person when you jump to so many different topics that are not relevant to what you're actually talking about. Like, that's my biggest issue. When we started this conversation, we started it out, and you asked me, do I think Jalen's going to play a good game Sunday?
Well, do you expect Jalen to be better in the playoffs than he was in the regular season?
Yes, and I said yes.
It's a fair thing.
And you brought stats. Now, you didn't parse out what the intangibles were in the moment. You just looked at the numbers and said what the stats were.
Before you came in, Jason, we went through his nine playoff games, right? Mm-hmm. And I graded each one, and I gave him three A's or A minuses, the two Super Bowls, and last year's championship game. I gave him an F in his first playoff game, and maybe I'm being hard. It was his first one, but whatever. He didn't play well. A D against Tampa 2 years ago, and then some Bs in there, just the other playoff games. And I said, he's played some great playoff games. He's played a couple not good ones and a few okay ones. Like, because everyone just keeps telling me, it's the playoffs, he'll be great. And I'm like, well, he's had all sorts of playoff games. And that's, Sean didn't like that.
Well, it's stats. You started to give people like the actual facts of it. And everyone can't handle it because everyone has their own presuppositions, what their mind is made up about, what their narrative
right.
could be. But this is the thing that everyone has to realize, is that two things can be true
at the same time.
Always.
Two things can be true at the same time. Jalen, his stats may be the same or, you know, what have you, and he gets the credit. Because quarterbacks get the credit for wins.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the credit for wins, and he's played great in two Super Bowls and great in NFC Championship games. But he's had some games that hadn't been the best, but the team had figured out a way to win.
They're 6-3 in his playoff games. Yeah,
we go to that Rams game last year. If Jalen Carter does not beat, you know, the tackle in that moment and get a quarterback hit, there's a guy wide open for a game-winning touchdown. Those types of things occur.
I mean, he took 7 sacks and a safety in that game.
Exactly,
yeah. All right, before we say goodbye, let's talk about the playoffs as a whole. So, NFC, Seahawks the 1 seed, Bears the 2. Let's go to this weekend. Packers-Bears, it obviously affects the Eagles, Jason, in a big way, because if the Bears win, the Eagles would go to Chicago next week. If the Bears lose, the Eagles would play at home next week. Who do you think wins, Packers or Bears?
I'm going to go with the Packers.
Wow. Mm. And now I say wow just because it's 7-2, but the line on the game betting-wise, it's basically a pick 'em.
Yeah, so the reason I go is because I always say that young players, at some point, they burn you. And you have, you know, your Caleb Williams. You have these guys that are an upstart. They're not used to this. The Packers, say what you want about them, they've been in the playoffs.
Yep.
And so they have that cachet there. They have that experience. And that experience is a bunch. It's a lot when it comes to these critical games, these critical moments. You got a young team that has a lot of pressure being in Chicago at home. And when a game's on the line, I think I trust Jordan Love in that situation that has experience. That's just me.
Okay. I'm going to assume you're going to pick the Rams over the Panthers?
Of course.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
Because the Panthers beat the Rams.
Just a few weeks ago.
But Bryce Young played out of his mind in that game.
You don't see that happen.
Made every throw in that game. I watched that game. Made every throw
in
that
game. And the Rams turned the ball over a lot in that game. Yeah. Okay. So assuming the Rams do win the game, what do you think would be more advantageous for the Eagles? Because I said yesterday, like, I know it's better to play at home. I'd rather go to Chicago next week and have the Rams go to Seattle, have those two teams knock each other out, and then the Eagles go play the Bears on the road, and then they play the winner of the Seattle and Rams game, rather than, if it played out the way you said, Jason, it would be Eagles-Rams here next week, mm-hmm. Packers at Seattle. What do you think would be better for the Eagles? If the Bears won and the Eagles went to Chicago, or the Packers won and that puts the Rams here next week?
I just don't think the Bears are a good matchup for us.
So you don't want to go to Chicago next week? Okay.
I just Ben Johnson wise, when it comes to their ability to run the ball, their ability to they got some guys that can uncover. Caleb's ability to extend plays is a little bit different from Matthew Stafford's, right? So I even though the Rams are definitely a nightmare matchup, yeah. I just think at Chicago with Ben Johnson against our deployment, the way we play defense, I just don't think it's a great matchup.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the Eagles would be favored in Chicago, but you're right, it's a weird matchup, and we lost them already.
No, we didn't just lose them.
We got beat up.
They got beat up.
They should score 40 points.
I agree. That we were lucky. We were kind of in the game.
Yeah.
All right.
And with still no answers, like offensively.
Right.
We still have no answers for it.
What do you think of the AFC? Because I don't know if I've ever seen a conference where I have less confidence of who I think is going to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, the number one seed is the Broncos, and they're obviously good, but Bo Nix is very up and down, right? Sometimes he looks good, sometimes he looks like garbage. Number two seed, Patriots. They have young team, excellent young quarterback. The Jaguars are three. Steelers are four. Texans, five. The Bills are the most accomplished team in terms of being in the playoffs a lot, but they're the sixth seed. And then the seventh seed, the Chargers, would have banged up offensive line. What do you think of the AFC?
This is tough. I think this is tough. Because Denver has been playing Cinderella for a long, long time.
They win a lot of close games.
They're a good team.
They found both of them.
They win a lot of close games. And you got Houston with that defense can beat anybody. Steelers, I don't trust the Steelers. This is tough.
You buy the Jaguars? Yesterday we had Ross Tucker on. He said the winner of Bills Jaguars, he thinks is going to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't buy the Jaguars.
I think I got some cheese on.
You buy the Pats? They had a weak schedule, but obviously the quarterback's playing at a high level.
He's a young dude, and so I don't trust young dudes in the playoffs.
I don't trust any of these teams.
I don't trust any young dude in the playoffs. But I will say this: that dude's a stud, though.
May, yeah,
Drake May's a stud.
He's playing like an older cat.
No, like his ball placement is just unbelievable.
Ball placement is crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. Pause. But yeah, ball distribution.
rhythmic ball play.
Hey, that's even crazier. Ball distribution.
So if you had a pick, AFC.
His accuracy is great.
Okay, who's in the Super Bowl? Who's there?
AFC pick.
Houston? Defense is good, no?
No.
It's Denver. Home field?
I'm going Buffalo.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
Don't you feel like, because if Josh Allen don't get it done now, it might never happen.
It'll never happen.
All right, let's end with this, Jason. We do appreciate being in for the hour. I don't know if you heard, a couple days ago, Hugh Douglas threw his hat in the ring to be the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
ATL, yo.
So be honest with us. Would it work out? You can be honest.
Honest. I don't know. I think he'll do good. He'll do good.
Can't do no worse than, you know what I mean? Can't do no worse than not having done it at all.
Listen, defensive head coach.
Yeah. But he doesn't believe defense is a luxury. He thinks it's a luxury, not a necessity. Yeah,
if I go to Atlanta got a good defense, man. They had the most sacks in franchise history this year.
Trying to view Hugh as a head coach without in being serious.
I know.
He's always joking.
Yeah, that's the problem. And not Twitter beefing.
Yeah.
Because I had Twitter beef last night. I had some Twitter beef.
Yeah, you can't.
Head coaches can't Twitter beef. Imagine Sirianni on Twitter with fans after a game.
I'm trying to do better, but I have been more creative. And some of the curse words that I use, I don't use the actual word.
Oh,
that's awesome.
That's head coach material right there.
Well, it's better than the actual curse word.
Ready to sign up for this right here.
So I don't say the B word anymore. I say female dog.
Awesome, man.
You know what I mean? I'm a work in progress. Listen, this is not going to change overnight. But if they're willing to give me a shot, I am willing to give it a go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you join his staff? Because he's putting together a staff.
Yeah. Would you join the staff? I'm gonna need a coach.
Yeah. I'm sure.
But we
got
to go black white because we got to keep it diverse. So I got to go one. So I got to get a white coach. Well, I got Joe.
Strength and conditioning.
Yeah. Strength and conditioning coach. So you'd be so I got Ike and Joe. So I can go black now. Okay. Yeah. If you want the job, then we got to hire another white guy.
The PR person for the Falcons, if you're the coach, needs to be paid 10 times what they're paid now.
You know what? I'm gonna see. I'm gonna poach some Eagles. I'm gonna poach some Eagle staff. I'm gonna see if I can get Bob Lane, because I think Bob, because we could have a great working relationship.
He'd quit in a month.
No, he wouldn't. Yeah. He would. He well
with you.
He probably would.
Yeah,
he probably would.
All right,
I would probably.
Hugh, we're all wishing the best for you, Jason. We appreciate you being in. All right, we have Nick Sirianni coming up next. This has been Whiteout Wednesday with Jason Avant, brought to you by the Walnut Street Smiles at Chestnut Dental Group Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, appreciate you being in. Enjoy the game, and we'll have you in next week right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.